I believe that lives could literally by the hundreds and thousands be transformed in this room tonight. And well, they ought to be, as I speak on this amazing word, the secret to the Christian life, the word duty. If I were to sum good Christianity up in one word, this is the word.
And now, great sermons from fundamentalism.
Take your Bibles, please. Turn in them to the book of Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. And we'll be reading in unison the last two verses of that chapter, verses 13 and 14, in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 704.
This sermon was preached at First Baptist of Hammond in 1979, and you have to wonder how they justify their current KJV-only position with this open recorded acknowledgement that Hiles used to use the Scofield just about exclusively. But that's merely a sidebar in my mind. Hiles announces a change in direction and advertises the forthcoming message as one he has preached across the country. He says this message is on the most important word in the entire Christian vocabulary. So, while I am trying to decide between Christ and grace, Hiles says the word is duty. However, the passage says, the whole duty of man is one, to fear God, and two, to keep his commandments, and that is the whole duty of man. So maybe this will be an unusual two-point message, one on fearing God and two, keeping his commandments. However, Hiles cites but does not quote Exodus 21:10 regarding the duty of marriage. He cites but does not quote Deuteronomy 25:5, the duty of a husband's brother. He cites but does not quote 2 Chronicles 8:14. He partially quotes Ezra 3, verse 4, they offered the daily burnt offerings by number, according to the custom, as the duty of every day required. And then he prays.
Our Heavenly Father, I pray now that you'll speak to our hearts in these moments. You know I have a perfectly prepared new outline of a new sermon on my desk right now that I plan to preach tonight. But you also know that I feel that I cannot leave these preachers and these Christian workers for an entire service and neglect them. And so tonight I pray that you'd help each of us to realize the obligation we have, the duty we have of serving our Lord God. Give us a new dimension, a new dedication to the Christian life. In Jesus' name, amen.
I notice he does not ask God for strength, guidance, or wisdom. Instead, he addresses God as though he and God had agreed on a schedule for his preaching, and now he has to change his schedule because he remembered a sermon that would be more effective. Hiles' prayer really is so wrong and so self-serving on so many fronts that I'll just leave it in for reference, and you can work it out for yourself. Next, he talks about people losing the burden to go soul-winning. He talks about people losing the sense of importance of reading the Word of God. He talks about people losing the enjoyment of coming to church anymore. He focuses on the loss of enjoyment of the church music. At 12 minutes, 17 seconds, he talks about people losing their desire to pray consistently. He then talks about people losing their desire to teach their Sunday school class. He talks about people losing their desire to run their bus routes. At 14 minutes, 50 seconds, he says, we are just about to separate the men from the boys here. He predicts a time when people transfer the motivation for soul winning from inspiration to obligation. He says that you're just about to become a good Christian when you do it because it is your duty. He says that you're just about to understand what the Christian life is all about. Duty, apparently. Well, not my Christian life. My Christian life is about Christ. My Christian life is about fellowship with God because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. He also says that reading the Bible will become joyless to you, and if you continue to read it because it is your duty, then you're a good Christian. That's at about 16 minutes. This is amazing, and it's wrong. You may lose joy in reading the scripture as part of the normal low cycle that every human being experiences, but the real life relationship you have with God through Christ as your righteousness makes the Bible matter to you again and again, with deeper and deeper conviction of its rightness, beauty, and wisdom. Remember, mindlessly reading the Bible 1 to 3 chapters a day merely because it is your duty just makes you another mindless fundamentalist. You must meditate upon God's word and inspect life itself against God's word in order to see the truth, wisdom, and beauty of God's word. But reading the Bible is not a matter of mere mileage. We do not read the Bible as a meritorious act. We read the Bible to understand what the Bible says. We do not accrue points with God from reading the Bible. We accrue the knowledge of God from reading the Bible. Hyles says that Christianity runs on the low-octane fuel of enthusiasm. He is right as far as that goes, but the alternative of running on duty is like throwing sand into the gas tank. Run on grace instead. Run on carrying your complaint to God because you can. Run on learning more of Christ and learning what Christ has done for you and purchased for you. Of course, your Christian life will have low points, but the flesh that fails you when you're revved up will certainly fail you when you're burned out. Remember, in the Bible, God says that anything that's not of faith is of sin, so duty is no great accomplishment. What does God care when you come before Him mouthing words you do not care about merely because you have a duty to pray? That's an insult to God. If prayer is difficult, ignore duty and rely on grace. Tell God that He's the sinless, omnipotent member of this relationship. He has to sustain you or you will fail. Hyles has missed the point of this verse of the Bible. It is not, in fact, saying that duty is crucial. It is saying that the fear of God is crucial, and that living out that fear, which is to obey His commandments, is crucial. More on that next time.